The Laughter Permitted podcast is brought to you by Ally. Do it right. Hello. Welcome to Laughter Permitted. We're so glad you're here. I'm Julie Foudy alongside Lynn Olzowi. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Jules. Hey, Jules. How was the College Cup? Florida State, BYU, went down to the wire and then some.
Yeah, penalty kicks. How about that? So BYU had never been to a College Cup before, meaning the Final Four for women's soccer, ever. Which is amazing because they'd come close so many times. Florida State has been to about everyone. And I actually thought BYU might pull it off in the end, but they lost 4-3 on penalty kicks. And I don't love penalty kicks. I don't love them. They're no way to decide a national title, in my opinion.
Or like a world title.
Cup. Right. It's brutal.
That's a tough way to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is fitting you're coming off calling a national championship game because we spoke with someone who knows a thing or two about winning a national title at the collegiate level.
Oh, yes, she does. Our guest is South Carolina basketball coach Dawn Staley, who won a national championship with the Gamecocks in 2017. Dawn is a proud native of North Philly, get it straight, North Philly, who played collegially at the University of Virginia. She played professionally in the ABL and WNBA. She won 3 Olympic gold medals as a player and most recently led the USA women's basketball team to gold at the Tokyo Olympics this past summer as their head coach. Oh, and let's not forget, she is also a member of the Naismith Hall of Fame. Dawn began coaching college hoops in 2000 at Temple, while actually she was still playing professionally in the WNBA, which is amazing in itself, and then took over the helm at South Carolina in 2008. She recently signed a contract with South Carolina worth, drumroll please, Lynn, $22.4 million over the next 7 years. Oh, you better believe we talk about that and her intention behind the deal. Oh, and we talk about a whole lot more as well. So fun to catch up with Coach Staley. So get comfortable listening. It's Dawn Staley. Hey there, Dope Village. As y'all know, Ally has backed Laughter Permitted since day one of our podcast as our financial ally. And honestly, Lynn, I might just tattoo Ally on my forehead. And Ally is currently on a mission to change the game for women's sports.
And get this, along with being sponsors of the National Women's Soccer League, Atlantic Coast Conference, United States Golf Association, and the Las Vegas Aces, Ally has committed to an equal media investment in women's and men's sports.
And you, my friends, can be part of the change by watching your favorite athletes crush it on TV, by going to women's sporting events in person, by, I don't know, maybe listening to every single episode of this amazing podcast on Trailblazing Women. Because every time you show up for women's sports, you are helping move the game forward. You can learn more about Ally by visiting ally.com. Hey there, Dope Village. Lynn and I have been involved in women's sports our entire lives. And truly, we've never been more excited for what's to come in this women's sports space. And one big reason, Ally. Ally has made a commitment to an equal media investment in women's and men's sports.
And that means more money going to women's sports and more visibility for what these incredible athletes are accomplishing. Ally is on a mission to change the game for women's sports.
So here at Laughter Permitted, we're going to keep telling the stories of trailblazing women. And every time you listen in, you are part of that change. To learn more about Ally, go to ally.com. Kick back. Laughter Permitted. What up, sister?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, coach.
How goes it?
Goes well.
Goes well. Looking good. Looking good in your green machine hat. Good win last night. You guys are rolling. You're crushing it.
It looks good on paper. It didn't look good up close.
Oh, really? Come on, this team is good, though. This team is real good. First thing we always do on the podcast, Dawn, is we set the scene. So what you doing? Where are you? How you doing? All those fun things.
All right, well, I'm in Columbia, South Carolina. It's about, it's getting up to 70 degrees on the last day of November.
Yeah.
So the sun is shining. We're good. We're good. You know, got a good team. We got a good staff. I did my saliva test this morning. What?
Life is good.
Life is good.
A new contract. Oh, slow clap for the new contract, by the way. Sister, come on.
Yeah.
Can we, before we start anywhere, start there. Oh my goodness.
The contract. The contract is cool though. For real though. I'm gonna be honest with you too. I really enjoyed the fight.
Yeah.
The fight is what kept me going. Once it's done, I'm just like, yeah, what are we supposed to do now? Like, let's find something else to fight about.
There's always something else to fight about, by the way. You're going to be fine there.
But no, it's super cool. Like, did I want it for me? Not really. Like, I didn't really. I mean, I made a lot of money before the contract. I'm pretty good. I save, so, mm-hmm. you know, but the contract was more about what really got the burning desire for me to go after it was being at the NCAA tournament in San Antonio.
Yeah.
And, you know, seeing what happened there and me, like, I spoke out during that time, and I'm just like, I'm speaking out on a national scale, and if I look back to where I consider home now in South Carolina, we're not there yet. We're in the same boat as what's happening in San Antonio, but it I'm not saying the same boat as far as gender equity.
Referring to the weight room situation, the differences in tournaments,
all the inequities.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in those terms, and I just feel like when I just look through everything that we've been able to accomplish here in South Carolina, I thought the conversation should go and gear towards gender equity and what that looked like on our campus. And mm-hmm. and obviously you negotiate for a while, and I think it's really hard for people to see a non-revenue producing sport in this predicament.
Mm-hmm.
When basically, if you look at everybody's non-revenue producing besides really here, I think football.
Mm-hmm.
So why should there be such a big pay difference, especially mm-hmm. when we've been, you know, pretty successful. And I need to preface things. I need to preface this by saying it wasn't for me, and it really wasn't about the money. The money is the thing that moves people, and it brings to light, you know, what should have been happening before you even have to bring the conversation up. So the money is the common denominator in it all, because it talks, it walks, it, you know, it shatters glass.
Yeah. And even though it's not for you, it's so brave, because there are a lot of people who would have just thought, I don't need to risk this. I'm good. As you said, like, I'm making enough money. I've saved enough money. But it's the precedent, and you're thinking about the next generation and the next program and the next sport that is a women's sport that faces such inequities. And that's the thing that I love, because there's a lot of people who wouldn't have taken that step and said, hey, I'm going to come back to my own home and fix this. So,
and that's it. I did risk. It was a risk.
And they could have said, "Yeah, no thanks."
Right.
But you're Dawn effing you gotta be able- Staley. They're never gonna say that. Dawn effing Staley.
No, no, they may. They could have. it wasn't a one-time conversation. So you got to, it was months. It was months. It happened over months. And I honestly told Sue this. I told Sue Bird this. Because she texted me, you know, after it was announced. And she just said, congratulations. And I had to tell her to tell Megan, during that process, I watch LFG, their documentary on CNN. I sat down, I watched it, and I was like, damn, like, I mean, this is the exact same thing that I'm going through. And it helped me push through. It helped me to just say no. Like, I was offered more money. I wasn't offered like what I wanted. It was under what I wanted, and it was significant. Mm-hmm. But I'm just like watching that. I'm just like, no, LFG. Let's go. Let's continue. And you know, is that fight all over the world? You know. All over the world. So, and I hope that is a ray of hope for other women to just continue to fight, you know, risk it. I mean, there's a risk to it. It could have got really ugly, and it didn't though. I mean, it was negotiating, and you have to be able to stand your ground
and be principled for doing that. Bravo to you. That is incredible. It actually reminded me of one of my favorite stories of you when we sat down with you years ago for a feature. You were telling that story, and I've heard you tell it before, of, you know, playing on the courts in North Philadelphia on the blacktop, and it's, what, 25th and Diamond, on the corner of 25th and Diamond, and the boys not letting you in, so you brought your own damn ball. Tell that story. I was like, maybe this is where it all started, on 25th and Diamond.
I mean, it you know, I think your foundation, like my foundation, I'm from North Philly. Like, that's my foundation. I grew up in a household, being the youngest of five. So everything was super competitive. You have to persevere. You have to be resilient. You have to be smart. And, one of the smartest things that I ever did was take my own ball to the court, because, you know, some people they'll just go to the court and just say, I'm sure there's going to be basketballs there, but there was just one time nobody brought their ball but me. And
you're playing with guys.
Yeah. I certainly wasn't going to let them use my ball while I sat on the side. So I just used it as a ploy to get on the floor and get on the court. And it didn't matter after that first game. If I won, if I lost, I'm going to treat it just like everybody else. But for that initial moment, I'm going to be on the court with my ball as part of the 10 that's out here. And it's that resiliency that it's a standard. Like, that was my standard. I was principled in that. And obviously, life experiences will take you through you having to, you know, challenge yourself to stay principled. Yeah. And this was one of those instances.
Mm, so good. Have ball. I'm going to play. You want to play? You can take me and the ball with you.
Right.
You've been coaching for over two decades now, Dawn, which is amazing. And I bow to you, because just coaching seems so hard to me. And it really does feel more like a calling than anything else. I never got that call. I never had that calling. What drew you to it?
I never wanted to be a coach, like, ever. Like, I always shied away from it. And the first opportunity that I got to coach, I turned it down like several times, like at Temple. I was like, no, like, I'm like 29 years old. I still got a lot left in the tank to play professional basketball. No, why would I want to stop my life to do that? And then, you know, I met with the AD. He's deceased now, but he just, you know, he saw something in me that I didn't see it in myself. And he basically said, I challenge you to turn our program around. Ooh. And I was like, whoa, whoa, I never really looked at it that way. Like, and then I'm drawn to it. I was
smart. Man.
I was done after that. I was just like, whoa, let me see what's, you know, what this coaching thing is all about. And it was by far the best decision that I've ever could have made. Not, I mean, obviously you get what you win, you know, but I won in that I've met so many great people, like my former players, my current players, you know, my former players are like my best friends now. So it creates, it opens up so much more than the X and the O and the wins and losses that you know, I was unafraid of the basketball part. I was unafraid of that.
Right.
It was me being responsible for people that's almost my age. That frightened me.
Yeah, and that's the hard part of it all, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, that's X's and O's, it's like everyone can get that. The bit you're talking about, the fact that you're still friends with all of these players says so much to me right there. I'm like, ah, that's such a great sign, because that's hard as well. You're walking that fine line of balance, of pushing and nurturing and all of it.
Yeah, and you're not really thinking about that part of it. Like the friendships that are developed, the relationships that are developed through coaching and player relations, that does not come in. I'm telling you, that does not come into decision making process, and it should, because it would get more of us in the sport doing it if we thought about that, because that's who we are. We're nurturers. We're lovers. We're, you know, we. You know, that side of us that want to be happy, that want to see other people happy, is the very thing that, you know, doesn't allow someone to make a decision based on that. Because we're equipped with all the other stuff. Like, again, you can really learn how to coach basketball. You can learn. You just rely on YouTube. You got clinics. You can't learn how to relate to people.
Yeah,
because if you are learning how to relate to people as a coach, you're gonna not be able to connect with somebody, because somebody's gonna feel that, you know, they're gonna feel it and be like, oh, you're phony. I can't go there. Right. It can be the best player, you know, with the most talent, and if they don't feel you, you're not gonna get the best out of them. And when you make people feel good, seriously, they make you feel better. They treat you better. Like I make our players feel good. And in turn, they treat me better.
How would you describe your purpose as a coach? What are you setting out to do with your players?
Yeah, my purpose is I want to coach pros. Like, I want to coach people who want to be pros. I'm the best resource when it comes to that. If you just want to come and basketball is a hobby and you just want to get through, I'm probably not that person for you. I'm not that coach for you. You have to have a burning desire to want to be a pro, because that is how I was brought up in the sport. And that we didn't even have the carrot dangled in front of us to be pros.
Yeah, right. There was no WNBA.
It was nothing, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I wanted to be the best. I thought I had a shot at going to the NBA. I mean, that was my carrot. So I want every player that I get the fortunate opportunity to work with, is I want to meet them where they are, just where they are, however it is, whatever it is, however they are. And then I want to take them where they want to go. And that's through communication. That's through tough love. That's through a lot of more communication, because you got to talk to them. You got to make them a part of the process. Because if they're not a part of the process, it's just you telling them what to do. And one day they could just say, no, I don't want to do that. Just mm-hmm. because you said it. But when you make them say, I want to do this, it's a lot easier. And you hold their hands till they get to that point. And then the rest is on them and how much quicker they want to get to that point or not. So, I mean, I treat them as people first. I always write down what they want to accomplish during the recruiting process.
Oh, during the recruiting process even?
Yes. Yes.
I love that. Not even, yes. They're not even there yet.
No. Once they get here, I mean, there's a reason why they're coming.
Right.
Okay. And there's a reason why you stay, because there's the transfer portal, and that is, here are your reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you said you want to graduate, you want to be a pro, you want to go overseas to play, you want to start a business. These are all the reasons why you came here. And sometimes it gets cloudy when they have a bad day, like, or a bad week or a bad month. They reconsider where they are and think that somewhere else is better. But no, I mean, your goal's still the same.
Mm-hmm.
Your goals are still the same, and the reason why you came here is because of your goals and how you felt. Those things are still the same. You know, you're just going through a bad time, and that happens in college. It happens in life, and you can't always just jump ship. Work it out, and we let's work it out. And if we get to a point where you still feeling the way you're feeling, then I'm all for it. Go ahead and leave. Because your happiness isn't here.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to work through the problem first.
Mm-hmm. What have you noticed in terms of I'm saying this because I have a 14-year-old who's already as a freshman in high school stressing about the college process. I mean, it is stressful for kids. And as I said, you've been in it for over 2 decades. What have you noticed about the difference in recruiting kids? And maybe the better question is the difference in parents, right?
Yeah, what they're like. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I recruit the player, the recruits, the prospects, and the parents the same way. There's not a difference. There really isn't a whole lot of difference in that. You got to communicate with them. You got to involve them in the process. You have to make them feel like, you know, we're doing this together.
What have you noticed, though, about the kids? Have they changed in those 20 years?
Yeah, yes.
What's different about
it's different the player? I'll give you a story. 2019, we had the number one recruiting class, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were just about their business. They weren't partiers. They weren't, you know, they were shoppers. They shop. They do all of that. 2 years later, 2021, we got the number one recruiting class. They're here now and on campus. And they don't reach out to me like their first 2 months here on campus, heard nothing, like nothing. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because they're social. They know everybody on campus. Like they weren't homesick. They were like social. They're social butterflies now. And because of that, I don't think they take their craft as serious as the 2019 class. And maybe because the 2019 class is really good and they don't see themselves breaking into that as readily. So they're more concerned with all the external stuff rather than the basketball. So we gotta flip it. We gotta give them that space to enjoy the external stuff. And then we, you know, as they're more comfortable, we gotta get them more comfortable with why they came. Because they socially wasn't part of their decision. It wasn't. It was.
Hey, yo, we didn't come for the parties. We got some games. Let's go.
Yes. And I'll tell you this. It doesn't, like, it. We don't stop recruiting the parents. Like I include, like we have monthly Zoom calls with the parents.
Wow.
Checking in. Hey, this is what's happening.
Oh my, that's so smart.
Interesting.
So, yeah. Yes, that's so smart. That's my job. My job is to keep good the parents one. At a good place where the lines of communication, they're always open to them. Like they can always call me, text me, whatever. If I have an issue with their daughter, I'm calling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling. Like they're a part of every situation their daughters are in. They mm-hmm. feel better. They feel more secure about that.
Yeah, exactly.
So I mean, it's that smart. Relationship.
That's incredible to hear your process. And I'm going to take us back to a really good year, 2017, where you achieved your personal dream of winning a national championship. It didn't happen as a player at Virginia. It happened as a coach at South Carolina. You recently did something really special with the net from that game, where you shared a piece of it with Black coaches across the country. Can you tell the story behind that and why you did it?
I can. Carolyn Peck, back in like 2015, when South Carolina was on the brink of getting close to just national prominence. And she saw it and felt it. And she was just like, you know, I'm going to do what one of my coaches and mentors did for me before we won a national championship. And that was they gave Carolyn Peck a piece of their national championship net. And they just said, return it when you get yours. And she said the same thing to me. Like she felt like we were close, and that sometimes something tangible to feel and to look at along your journey goes a long way. I kept it in my wallet. So everywhere I went, every time I had to get money out, a credit card out, peek-a-boo, it was right there.
Visual cue.
Yes. And it just makes you exhale and say, and put things in perspective. You know, you may have experienced some downfalls, some losses, some transfers, what have you. Stay the course. It was just a steady reminder of staying the course. And then it took me a long time, because when I gave her piece of the net back, I said, you're going to have to help me find that next coach that I need to give my piece of the net to. And she was like, okay, well, I got my eye on a couple of them.
So you actually did give it back to her?
I did. Wow. I did. She was actually, she got back into coaching. She was coaching at Vanderbilt as an assistant coach. Mm-hmm. And I saw her at Boo Williams, one of the biggest recruiting events. And I said, I have to. I didn't want to mail it back. I wanted to personally give it back to her. So I took a picture with her and that giving it back to her. And then we never really talked about who in the years after that. And then I was doing a diary last year, and that conversation came up. And then I was like, I should give them to all the Black coaches, because it was a conversation about, you know, where are the Black coaches? Do Black coaches get an opportunity to coach? And and I just got the idea of, like, let me give it to all the Division I Black head coaches. And some, it's comprised of both men and women. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, that tangible thing. And I didn't know it was going to turn into them, you know, videotaping and putting it out on social media. And it's cool, because it comes from a place of, for me, a place of wanting to help, because somebody helped me in one of the best accomplishments in my life. I wanted to win a national championship, and I wanted to be a gold medalist. Those are the only two things growing up in the projects in North Philly that I saw women playing. Like, I never saw them playing in anything else besides the Olympics and the Final Four and the national championship. So I know how I felt about that and how I felt about Carolyn giving me a piece of that net, I know it could be something that could be beneficial to, you know, so many other coaches out there that are fighting the fight that, we fight every day.
Do you know how many pieces of the net you ended up giving out?
It was over 70.
Wow.
No way.
Yeah, over 70.
Men and women or just women, just female coaches?
No, men and women. If you were you're a Division I basketball coach, black basketball coach, you got one.
Well, it'll be amazing to see how many pieces of those nets you get back.
Yeah. Or
they pay it forward.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to pay it forward.
Okay. I got mine already.
Yeah, I was thinking that then they're going to pay it forward.
And they're going to pay it forward, yes.
Yeah, that's the really cool thing. And then they're going to inspire another person. That nylon's going to continue on. That's so awesome.
That's awesome.
Oh, so good. And congrats, we should say. I know math is not my strong suit, but congrats on another Olympic gold medal. And by my count, you had 3 as a player. We did the same Olympics, 96, 2000, 2004. Then you had 2 as an assistant, and then another 1 as a head coach. So you've had 6 of the 7 Olympic gold medals for USA women's basketball. Oh, damn!
Super cool! I got to give it to Sue and Diana. We're part of 5 of them. So,
right.
Come on now. If you got players like that, makes your job easier. What you got? Let me see what kind of dog you have.
I know, Swaggy wants in real bad.
She wants in, she's a rescue doodle.
What's up? What's up? My boy is here, Swaggy. Too.
Swaggy, where are you, champ? Come on, champ.
Come here, my boy. Swaggy, champ is lounging.
You know what she sees? This is what's killing me. She sees, she's so smart, or she smells it. Hold on, that's what I had to do before. She smells this damn squeaky toy, which is what we use for the game. And she wants it. That's what you're barking at. You're a pain in my booty. That's what you are. You're a pain.
This is my type of podcast, because everything comes to a complete stop when you're a Furberry baby mom.
I know.
Everything. This is cool.
I had to take the mic with me to get her the squeaky toy earlier. I was like, oh, this dog.
Ever since we've gone to Zoom, Swaggy has become a co-host of Laughter Per Minute. Just wait until we start the game in a little while here.
Should be in my lap.
That's when it really ramps up.
That's what she was barking at. Yeah, I know. Sue and Diana at 5 just blows my mind as well.
I mean, how do you do that? Seriously, right? I know how you do it. It's here mentally.
Mentally.
Physically, you know, they're tired. They go through a lot of, have gone through a lot of aches and pains, but the mental part of it is the thing that separates the best and the goats.
Yeah. Well,
not the good to the great, the best to the goat status.
Yeah.
What is goat mentality?
What is it?
Mm-hmm. What do you see in them that just separates them?
One, I don't know of any goats that aren't smart, like really high IQ. Mm-hmm. When you're able to make life changes to create longevity to playing, like I do think Sue and Diana decided probably between the third and fourth Olympics, and I could be wrong, that they were going to go for 5. And it probably happened maybe sooner than that. And then Diana decides to go straight vegan. And then Sue decided to, Sue decided to get with a nutritionist and figure out what works, what foods work for her.
Yeah, trainer.
And her career. So when you're able to and stay disciplined to it, you know how hard it is to be on the road and, you know, having to eat a certain type of food. And if they don't have it, you know, to find substitutes and not just go get the greasy burger. That's hard.
Yeah.
That's hard. That's commitment. So go, it's commitment, it's discipline. It's mental toughness. It's surrounding yourself with people who are only going to help you. Only going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, only help you. And you have to be selfish about that, because there are some people that come in your life that they're not helping you. They're pulling you away from the very thing that you're trying to accomplish. That doesn't happen in GOAT mentality. It doesn't.
And shoot, our age, Dawn, there was no vegans. There was no plant-based diets. An Impossible Burger, we would have been like, what the hell is that? Come on. There would have been no transition.
I ate Snickers. I got a sweet tooth that I've had for all my life, and that's got me through.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I have no sweet tooth. I don't like anything doughy or stodgy.
Really?
No. I love every donut I can get my hands on, Dawn. I did hear Taurasi, and I don't know if she was joking, but she's like, her last interview, she's like, see you in Paris. And I was like, oh my God, she's got another in her.
And you haven't heard from her since, so it's a high possibility.
Right? You never know. All right. Our last three segments are very intense because I need to get my competitive juices out. The first one is the Lynn game. Lynn, please explain the game to Dawn.
Coach, do you have a noisemaker handy?
Hold on. I was supposed to get that.
Champ squeaky toy.
Champ is here, so.
All right, Swag, I got two.
Plenty.
I'm going to have one. You've got two. I got one. I'm taking the green one. You're going to be fine. Okay? Yeah. Taking the green one. You have the orange
green
one.
Machine okay. Squeaky toy.
No, oh, yeah.
I'm a dog mom. I got toys all over the place.
It's a squeak off. What's your squeak sound?
Ooh. Okay,
mine's
Julie.
A little higher.
Champ has that one too.
Oh, he does. Okay. This is when Swaggy goes crazy.
Oh, this is fantastic. Squeaky toy versus squeaky toy. Coach, you are about to go head to head with Julie in a trivia game. There will be three questions, best of three wins. All of them are multiple choice. In honor of the fact that there are so many gold medals on this podcast, the theme is Golden Girls.
And good one.
All of the questions are about the 80s TV show, The Golden Girls.
Oh, God. I'm screwed.
Question one. And then, Coach, you can squeak in at any point where you think you know the answer.
All right. I got you.
All right. Question one. What was the name of Betty White's character? Was it A, Rose, B, Lily, or C, Fern? Julie.
A, Rose.
Correct.
I knew that. I knew that. Bring on the next question. Let's go.
All right, Coach. Question two. Where did the Golden Girls live? Coach.
Do you want to wait for the multiple?
I do. But I'm first. I'm first.
I will allow that.
I squeaked, but
I will allow that. Was it A, Palm Springs, California, B, Boca Raton, Florida, or C, Miami, Florida?
God. What came to mind was California. So I'm going to go with A.
Incorrect.
But B was my second choice.
B. I choose B. I choose B.
Incorrect. We were going to question three.
Oh, darn.
They were in Miami, Florida.
Okay. Really?
Shoot. Okay. Okay.
Question three. How many Golden Girls were there? A, three, B, four, or C, five? Coach.
Three.
Incorrect. Julie could...
For the win. Four!
There were four.
Blanche, Rose, Lily, and who else?
You even know the names.
Blanche.
What?
Sophia, Dorothy, and
Sophia,
Rose.
Sophia, darn!
Sophia! You lost to Sophia! Oh, come on. You've got 6 out of 7 Olympic gold medals. I needed a little.
I know, that sucks. And 0 for 3. And 0 for 3.
Woo!
That's
all right.
It.
Most pressing questions.
Huh?
We kept it to best of three because we know that you got places to go, people to see. Normally it's best of five. Next time we'll play, it will be best of five.
Okay, all right.
And I'll make the theme about dogs. That clearly would be a good theme for the two of you.
I think I would win that.
You have to come back.
Yeah.
I'll come back, definitely.
All right.
Fiercely, definitely.
Thank you. Love it.
Most pressing questions.
Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts? You can only choose one.
I knew it. She holds up her Starbucks cup and chugs it, the last bit of it. And it's
Starbucks.
And that's a venti.
Yeah, it's a venti size too.
And then what's your drink of choice?
Well, right now I'm drinking skinny vanilla latte.
Yeah, that's a good one. I do skinny caramel macchiatos.
Well, I don't know why I chose to go that route, because I'm a macchiato girl.
Oh, you are.
I am.
You're mixing it up this morning,
right?
Someone else brought you that, I bet. Do we even have that? Yeah, was that part of the new contract? I want a venti skinny macchiato every morning on the desk. Stat.
No.
Stat.
Like the Devil Wears Prada.
I'm actually the star. I make the Starbucks runs.
Yeah, I know.
Really?
That's your style.
I do.
I can see that.
How many drinks will you get on a run?
Our coaching staff.
That's nice.
That's so cool.
Okay, can we talk about Champ's Twitter and Instagram account, please?
Yes, of course.
How does
he run
it? I actually
thought this podcast was going to be about Champ.
Yeah, I know.
That's why I said yes.
how does he run his own account so efficiently? It's really impressive.
Well, you know, Champ is one that his name, he's a champ. So he's a champion of all things.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And where does his name
fairly
come?
Easy.
What's the derivative of his name? Can you tell that story?
Yeah. Well, 2017, we won a national championship. And voila.
Hence?
It's Champ.
I do love that he has no followers. I mean, sorry. He has a lot of followers, but he follows no one.
No one.
No one.
You know where we get that from?
Who?
I know. I actually know.
Who?
I think I know.
Who?
Oprah.
No. Oprah doesn't follow anybody?
I'm almost positive. I don't think Beyonce. Beyonce, yeah. Beyonce and Oprah don't follow anyone.
Let me see. Oprah doesn't
follow. I'm going to fact check that, but I'm pretty sure that's the case.
Oprah doesn't follow anyone?
Check it. Let me
we fact checking on this podcast right here. Come on.
Real time.
Check it. Beyonce has no...
She's following two people.
Oh.
Okay. Who does she follow is the question. I say...
Oprah Daily and Oprah's Book Club.
Of course.
Back in the day, there was a point where she followed no one. I'm almost positive.
That's good.
Let me see. Beyonce. Where you at, B? Let's see.
Yeah.
Zero.
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 Beyonce and Champ.
You have a connection to Oprah, so can you ask her if she had zero followers at one point?
I have a connection.
Aren't you BFFs?
Don't you have a baseball sign by Oprah?
I do. My actually, I had to go through Stedman. So my sister-in-law works for, she works for reentry in the penal system, and Stedman is his profession. Mm-hmm. So he helps prisoners reenter into the society. So I was just like, can you please? It took a while though. Took a while to get it. I need Beyonce's. Y'all know anybody?
Well, let me talk to her. I'll get back to you on that. I'll DM her. Oh, wait, she doesn't follow me. Okay, if this is, I know it's early, but if you guys have a successful season like 2017, is there another dog in the works or do we double name Champ?
Ooh, I never thought about double naming him. I did think about getting another one.
Oh, you know, really?
You know what I would name him?
What?
Natty.
Oh.
Didn't this sound good? Natty Champ, get over here.
Yep.
Get over here. Come here, Natty Champ.
Yeah. Or only.
Only
right? Champs. Only champions at this place. Oh, that's good. All right, our last segment, Dawn. High, low cheer. This is something I do around the dinner table with my kids. I typically ask them their high of the day, their low of the day, and someone they cheer for to talk about gratitude for others. But this is going to be the high of your career, the low of your career, and someone who's helped you along the way is your cheer. Start with your high, please.
My high. God. My high, I would say Hall of Fame. Naismith, Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
You want my low now?
Mm-hmm.
My low is when I lose a kid to like if they transfer.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
That's a low for me because I feel like I even though it may be everything on them as far as making the decision to leave. I feel like I didn't fulfill their happiness.
Right.
So that's a low for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then who's helped me along the way? On cue, that's my boy.
Yeah. I heard that.
Man. Probably haters.
Oh, interesting. We haven't had that one before. I like that.
Probably just
thank you
haters,
to the haters.
Yes. You know, I have a chip on my shoulder. Like I carry it. It helps me just stay grounded. It fuels me. And it helps with not getting complacent. Mm. So
where does it come from?
I grew up in the poverty-stricken household neighborhood, mm-hmm. and it's I'm driven to not ever go back to that,
mm-hmm.
and not mm-hmm. to say that it was a bad life because it wasn't a bad life, right. It was filled with so many principles grounded. Like my mother, had to clean houses for other people. My dad was a construction worker. So they wouldn't have been able to pay for colleges if I didn't get a scholarship. So it's my foundation, which I'm proud of. But I also know what seeing the world does for one. Like mm-hmm. seeing the world, meeting different people, that it enhances your life because you learn. Like it's an incredible life experience when you're able to go to different places that you could, I couldn't imagine. Like my imagination probably was so small because I didn't even see other things. Like I didn't know what was out there to imagine for besides sports now. Like you got the NBA, you got that. You can imagine that part of it, but I've been around the world. I've been on several continents, and continents that I didn't even think about. Only saw in books.
Right, didn't know about, baby.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but because of that, I learned different cultures. I learned different, people. I learned how to navigate through this life, understanding people. And when you understand people, you create an edge. Like if I know what you like, if I know where you come from, I can cater to your thoughts and your needs, and people want to feel good. And I can make people feel good because of the experiences that I've had and what basketball has created for me.
Coach, who wouldn't want to play for you?
Yeah. And it just, all of that reminds me of sports is such a gift, as are you, Coach Staley. I'm so happy coaching found you, even though you weren't seeking it out. Because you're going to keep on giving that net, giving that hope, giving those dreams.
Got to.
Boom. Dawn effing Staley. Come on.
Yeah.
She's a badass.
She is.
She is.
Yeah, and this episode put me at a real crossroads.
Really? Why is that?
Because I said that I wanted to play for Adia Barnes at Arizona.
Mm.
But then there's Coach Staley at South Carolina.
It's a real pickle.
It's a pickle.
It's a pickle. All right, if you had to choose one, would you rather Adia Barnes or Coach Staley?
I think I need to hear their recruiting pitches.
You need to write your goals down.
Right. Depends on if I want to play professionally. That was interesting too, that she that Coach Staley, she wants to coach pros.
Yeah.
So much from this episode. And you know, before we dive into takeaways, I want to give you a cheer.
Me?
You.
Oh,
yeah.
Yay. What?
You were a champ with this episode because you recorded it on about maybe 3 hours of sleep.
Oh,
where you had
right.
called a U.S. Women's National Team game for ESPN. They were playing in Australia. So because of the time difference, you called this game at, was it 1 a.m.
mm-hmm.
your time?
Mm-hmm.
So by the time you finished, you got a few Z's and then you were up and ready to do this interview. So I just wanted to give you a cheer for that.
Aww. Yeah. Back to my college days. Making the turn. Few Z's. Ready to roll. Okay, what about your takeaway? Lynn, what is yours?
Out of all of this, I'm gonna pinpoint one thing, which is that I think it's incredibly telling that Coach Staley is the one who gets the Starbucks orders for her coaches.
Yeah, for sure.
I think says a lot.
No surprise there. I think I said that in the episode. I was like, yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And before we move on to your takeaway, I did do some fact-checking. Because as you know, I like to be accurate with what I say. There was a real-time fact check by Coach Staley in this episode. Afterwards, I did some GTSing.
Mm-hmm. You Googled that shit. Mm-hmm.
I did. And this is with regard to Oprah and her Instagram followers. I found a Forbes magazine article from 2018 that said Oprah did not follow anyone on Instagram.
So you went back to verify that has happened in the last 3 years.
I part of it was just to make sure
you weren't losing your mind.
Yeah. My safety measure. And the article also mentioned how Beyonce was someone else who did not follow anyone on Instagram. And just one more thing before we get to your takeaway, because this episode just had so many great moments, and we talked once again about goats, and we're learning what it takes, and based on hearing what goats like Diana Taurasi or Sue Bird have done to reach that status, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm. We're full of questions today. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Which is, what animal best describes you during your playing days?
Definitely not the goat is what you mean, right? What animal not named a goat definitely describes you? That's how you wanted to ask that.
You weren't a goat. You were a goat in your own right.
I was a llama, is what I was. I feel like that's in the family of goats. Don't you think? And
just kind of hanging out, munching.
Llamas are cool. They're herders. They gather people together.
Oh.
I'm a herder. They're very social animals. This is all things I've heard from my kids. For sure, I was a llama. Mm-hmm. There you go.
I love it. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm impressed by your llama knowledge off the top of your dome there.
Not lame. Lama. Llama. Uh-huh. Yeah.
All right. And now, on to your takeaway, my friend.
Oh, my takeaway. Gosh. The thing that kept coming back to me as we were talking with Coach is that she doesn't do anything half-assed. She at all. I mean, Dawn is all in, whether it's playing with all the boys in the projects where she grew up and realizing, hey, to get in this game, I just need to bring a ball and I'm all in. Or whether it's fighting for other women in regards to equal pay, or if it's winning almost every damn Olympic gold medal out there as a player and a coach, or if it's inspiring the next generation of coaches, or even teaching young women to set goals and go after them. So on and on, you could go on, but she is all in. And for that, I just have so much respect and admiration because it's brave, super brave.
Why do you say brave?
Because sometimes the easier path is not to be all in, because it's risking, right? It's risking when you ask for equal pay, as she was talking about. I mean, she could have, as she said, I could have gotten a really good number, but it wasn't equal. And the whole point that I'm trying to set for the next generation, for other women and other sports and other areas, is that this matters. And so I'm going to keep going. So those kind of things. Like, she doesn't do anything half-assed. I love that about her. Very committed.
Mm. Dare I say a goat?
Dope. That village is dope.
Goat.
Oh, you said goat? I thought you said dope. She's
a dope
that too.
Goat.
She's a dope goat.
Loves it. Are you ready for a question? Questions permitted?
Our dope goat village. Yes.
This one is from a longtime member of the Dope Village, Shannon Noble. Shout out to Shannon.
Yeah, Shannon.
What is your favorite place you've gotten to travel to for work and the best thing you ate while there?
Oh, gosh. Best place I got to travel to for work. Oh, I have so many. It's hard to pick one. Oh, Greece was really. The Greece Olympics. France last year. I don't want to be bragging, but I've had a lot of really good work trips. I would say I'm going to go with Greece because there was a point. This was the 2004 Olympics. This is one of my favorite memories with the national team where literally, true story, we all got these inflatable rafts, or maybe they came with the hotel. We were staying on the Mediterranean, and and I forget which island we were on, but we were floating on the water, all of us, with us connected, and we had just played our first game and won it, and we needed to win, or there was some sequence we needed to do to get back to that spot. And it would require us winning everything from there. So we all made a pact as we were floating on our rafts, like, you know, winning the gold medal is not enough. You want to win so you could get back to floating on the Mediterranean as we are. Let's go. And and we did. We ended up winning that Olympic gold medal, thankfully. But I have the best memory. I don't recall what my favorite food was, but I do recall that I had a favorite raft there.
Wait, explain this. So what was it that you had to get back to the Mediterranean? How did that work?
Yeah, because the games were all over the place for soccer. So to get back to that location, we had to win our group or we had to win whatever to get back there.
And
and so that was our inspiration, not the medal. It was just to get back floating on the water.
So if you won your group, that was going to get you back to the Lazy River.
Yeah. No, it was no lazy river. It was an ocean. It was gorgeous. It was a sea. We were in the sea. We were in the Mediterranean. It was gorgeous. Greece is something. That's going to be my next big trip with the kiddies, I think.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, I have my passport, so.
We'll travel.
I'll give mine quickly. Aspen.
Mm.
And that's, in fact, the city where we met.
I remember that.
But I had been there previously working Winter X Games, and it's gorgeous. And for me, I know what the food is. There's a great little spot called Big Wrap that has wraps, smoothies, tacos. And a good friend of mine, Kevin Rakowski, introduced it to me during my first Winter X Games way back in the day. So highly recommend Big Rap if ever you're rolling through Aspen.
Yeah, hopefully Big Rap's around post-COVID. I bet it is. Yeah.
I Googled it earlier and it looks like
of
it is.
Course
I
could actually you did. Do. Let's
Let's do a quick follow-up.
Come on, capital J journalist Lynn. We don't want to get this wrong.
It appears to be open.
Yes! They survived. Woo! And with that, a heartfelt thank you to the Dope Goat Village for sharing your time with us. We do not take it for granted, even for 1 second. So thanks for spending some time with us on all these episodes. And we also appreciate the support, as always, that we receive from our sponsors, Ally and Dick's Sporting Goods. And a shout out to Kate Diaz for our theme music. And as always, kids, sing it with us. Laughter permitted.
I'm a macchiato girl.
Hey there, Dope Village. I have two awesome ESPN podcasts to tell you about. The first is the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, which brings you the latest news and trends in and around the NFL. Join Mina and guests such as NFL analyst Dominique Foxworth, fantasy-focused football host Field Yates, and ESPN Radio's Mike Golic Jr. If you like X's and O's, analytics, and lots of dog talk, Lenny is a dog, by the way, then give the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny a listen wherever you get your podcasts. And now that the NHL season is in full swing, be sure to check out the podcast In the Crease with Linda Cohn and Emily Kaplan. You can also stream your favorite team's games on ESPN Plus, from the Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning to the brand new Seattle Kraken. Subscribe to ESPN Plus so you don't miss a goal.